Calgary, the boys on the Big Show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yeah, we were up like 4-0, and you know, we kind of knew they were gonna come back, but yeah, we a little bit sit back, and you know, they score a few in the power play, and you know, in the end, it was definitely an interesting game, and yeah, I think we got the 2 points, and that's all matters.
Well, I'm still not exactly sure how the Calgary Flames came away with 2 points last night. Like, I watched every single second of that game, and I saw it all play out, and yet I still don't know how they got 2 points. A 6-5 shootout win over the San Jose Sharks last night. That's Michael Frolik following the game. He was an important part of the game, and I mean, overall, I thought for a second consecutive game, the Flames were extremely fortunate to come away with a victory once again. I mean, 5-on-5 play was not very good. Fundamentally, they were not very good. Everything was going in for them in the first period, and then for the rest of that game afterwards, it was white-knuckle time. They almost lost the game numerous times. So I know that the narrative is going to be resiliency and find a way and all of that. I'm not quite there. I'm not quite sure how they won that game last night, but it doesn't really matter at this point. I mean, they've got 29 games to go, and they're already in a tough spot. They're 5 out of a playoff spot now. It's a whole lot better than it was about a week and a half ago. But, you know, so yeah, they need the points. They've gotten points in back-to-back games where they haven't been very good, and that's important. But they do need to play a whole lot better against Arizona tonight. I think we know that, and I think we probably will see a much more buttoned-up type effort. So yeah, did I love that effort overall last night for Calgary? No. Did I enjoy the game? Absolutely. And that's what I'm more focused on right now, the good news from that game, because that was just a fun hockey game. You only see one of those once or twice a season from each team, and that was last night, yesterday, and then game full of mistakes. And I know that coaches and fans, and we don't like mistakes. It's supposed to be mistake-free, and we criticize for mistakes, but sometimes a lot of mistakes make for really fun hockey, and that's what we saw yesterday, because that was the biggest reason why it was such an enjoyable game. Welcome to the Big Show. Pat Steinberg and Will Nault along with you. And, yeah, every once in a while when you get a bunch of mistakes, and in last night's case, a ton of them, it can make for a back-and-forth pretty entertaining hockey game.
Well, yeah, one thing's for sure. I mean, there was a lot of mistakes, and that means it's pretty entertaining. I mean, it's kind of hard not to be an entertaining game when you get 11 goals being scored. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you're the Calgary Flames, you look at it and say it was pretty ugly, but you'll take the 2 points, as you mentioned, and you know, you've won 4 out of your last 5 now, and see if you can keep it going, because you have a lot of divisional games coming up. You started off the month with some weaker Eastern Conference teams, and now maybe this is something you can build off of, because it's a pretty big win over a team you're chasing in your own division.
So I got to give a lot of credit to Josh Humphries today. Josh Humphries somehow...
That doesn't happen a lot, by the way.
I know, and that's why I'm like, it doesn't happen very often, so I got to do it. Josh somehow, in his game in a minute last night, was able to get every single puck that went in and still keep it under 90 seconds. That is a talented producer. It's time to listen back to not only Josh's handiwork, but to what was an exciting night in San Jose. It's time for the Game in a Minute.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC. Serving Calgary for new or pre-owned vehicles. See how easy the car buying experience can be at Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to Rogers Calgary Flames Hockey. Braun trying a rink-wide pass, but it's intercepted by Sam Bennett. He scampers in, tries a shot, and scores! Sam Bennett steps and shoots, and scores! Mark Giordano snaps the puck past Alex Stalock. And the loses the draw puck. Bounces out in front and in. Gaudreau to Hudler to Monahan. And he's robbed. No, he scores. Backlund, he steps in. He shoots. He scores. Centers, Couture shoots and scores. Thornton centering. Marlowe shoots and scores. Now Couture centers and they score. Here's DeMello with a shot and he scores. Now Bennett to Russell. He scores. Chris Russell! The Flames have tied this game at 5. Donskoy gets by Brody, walks in front, centers. Braun! Robbed by Hiller with a spectacular save! Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Flames' fourth shooter is Yuri Hudler. who has a chance to win this hockey game right here, right now. He picks up the puck, comes in really wide right, steps towards the Sharks' net, shoots, and scores! Yuri Hudler ends this game in round four of the shootout. The Flames survive 9 Sharks power plays, and they defeat their Pacific Division foe by a final score of 6-5.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC. Serving Calgary for new or pre-owned vehicles. See how easy the car buying experience can be at Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC.
So the good news and bad news. Let's start with the good news, Will. The Flames 5 back of a playoff spot. They've won 4 of their last 5. Nashville holds down the final wild card spot. And hey, look, in terms of the way I read it, I still think it's unlikely they'll be a playoff team. Too many good teams, too many teams to jump over, too far back. And, you know, they're on a nice run now, but they'll eventually, you know, it's the way the ebbs and flows go. They'll probably have another slump where they take a step back and all of that. So odds-wise, I don't think they're going to get there. It's unlikely anyway. But in terms of probability, yes. But at the very least, there's still something to play for. And even when they were 10 back, there was still something to play for. But what I guess is the good news is, I mean, it was like a week and a half ago, they were 10 points back. And now here they are 5 points back. You can still make up ground and you can still make things more viable for yourself. So the good news is there's still plenty to play for in the final 29 games.
Yeah, certainly. And I think, Pat, whenever you have this much time left in the season, I mean, it's hard to jump over that many teams in the standings. But I think whenever the gap between you and a playoff spot is, you know, kind of less than 6 points, you're in a pretty good position. But, you know, it gets over that 6 point part, you're putting yourself in a pretty tough position to make up ground. So the Flames kind of right on the edge in terms of staying alive. But I, you know, I hate to agree with you on every topic in this show, but you know, the fact of the matter is it's pretty unlikely for the Calgary Flames to make the playoffs right now. But the fact that they are still within 6 and, like you said, 29 games left, I think that they're still okay. But once you get, you know, because they're right on the bubble to me, because once you get below 6 points, it's really, really unlikely. But right now they're kind of just barely hanging on.
Now the bad news. I'm really not hopeful at all on the Kari Rommel front. I mean, it just doesn't seem like this is going to be anything short-term, whether it's a knee, an ankle, whatever. I'm not expecting to see him back anytime soon. And for me, I mostly feel bad for Rommel because of how well he's been playing. I think the Flames can possibly survive this. I mean, again, we just talked about it's unlikely anyway, but I feel bad for Rommel because he was putting himself in a good spot for a contract extension or a nice UFA signing in the summer, or, you know, he was putting himself in a nice spot, and now this. So I feel bad for Rommel more than anything else, and I'm really curious as to what this does. Do we see a trade? Do we see the Flames try and expedite, you know, shaking things up in net and looking towards the future? That's a very, very curious spot the Flames are put in 2.5 weeks prior to the trade deadline.
The only reason I'll say no to that in terms of looking for a trade option is if you go back to last year. I know that, you know, it's been talked about before, but about this time last year, Mark Giordano went down with an injury, and I know that the Flames weren't, you know, locked and set in stone in a playoff spot at that point either, and Brad Treliving didn't go and change the plan, didn't go out and acquire a defenseman. So at this point, with them even worse in a position in the standings, Pat, I don't see the Flames going out to explore a trade. The unfortunate part for Kari Rommel is the fact that he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, and, you know, right when he was kind of proving that he could play the starter's workload and have pretty decent numbers, he goes down with an injury and is not able to finish off the year with his team. And I think that's the worst part about this is the you know, kind of the potential future for Kari Rommel in the NHL.
The only way I think that making a trade makes sense, Will, is if it's a deal that, you know, is not just aimed at this year. Like, if you were to go out and get a younger goaltender who has a chance, like, who you're expecting to be here next year and beyond, you know? Like, if you were to expedite that process, then sure, I think it makes sense. Otherwise, I'm with you. I think that, you know, going to get somebody just for right now, a pending UFA veteran goaltender, no, that's not what I would be advocating for. But if there's a, you know, 25-year-old goaltender you can go out and bring in and who's under contract for next year, veteran can be part of the mix going forward, then yeah, I think that you could see them, you know, speed up the process on that, but we shall wait and see. Flames and Arizona Coyotes tonight. It is a 7 o'clock face-off here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. No NHL or Western League action tomorrow. That does not mean there's nothing going on at the Scotiabank Saddledome, though. The Calgary Roughnecks back in action this weekend. They're at home to the Colorado Mammoth tomorrow night. It's a 7 o'clock face-off at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Next 3-3 on the season. They won one and lost one last weekend. And Roughnecks Radio coming your way at 2 o'clock tomorrow here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The host of Roughnecks Radio just happens to be the former captain of the team, Andrew McBride, who joins us now. Hello, Brider.
What's up, Patty? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good to hear your voice.
I want to be known as the new pundit for the Roughnecks, though. Not former captain anymore. I'm on the other side. I'm asking the hard-hitting questions on the Roughnecks Radio now.
Have you found it hard to separate yourself, to go from being teammate and captain to now being pundit and opinionated analyst?
No, it's good. I'm off the payroll. I can ask the hard questions. We're bringing Bruce Codd, the assistant coach, onto the program this week. We're gonna hammer him. I'm hammering the guys. It's no easy softballs anymore, so I quite enjoy this side of the old glass.
So you no longer do you want to be billed as former captain. You want to be known as Roughnecks pundit Andrew McBride.
Well, I guess. I mean, it's always nice, but the former thing, it's just like, I cringe. Every time, like, I went to Medicine Hat, and there was an article about coaching, and it's like, former NLL player, retired, and it's just like, ooh, boy, it's like, doesn't have the same ring as like current or playing in the NLL, so it's a little tough.
Although at the bar it might help you out. I mean, I know you're married, well, so not in that respect. But you know, if you're looking for free drinks, I mean, I'm a former captain of the Calgary Roughnecks, Andrew McBride, I might get you a couple free drinks.
That is true. I have received a lot of the old Roughnecks fans have been over generous at the games. I think having a little baby, former captain, people say, oh my gosh, you comb your hair. Like, I have been getting a lot of free drinks at Roughnecks games. That is true.
That's funny. You're combing your hair. Good for you. Yeah. Hey, the program runs at 2 o'clock this weekend. Roughnecks Radio with Andrew McBride. What's you mentioned Bruce Codd, Roughnecks assistant coach. What else is on the show this weekend?
We're going to recap the start of the year. Obviously, Roughnecks coming off an interesting weekend, getting hammered last weekend in Saskatchewan, coming back after being down 8-3 at half to beat an upstart Georgia Swarm team. They have the first place Colorado Mammoth coming in off a huge, impressive win last night, kind of in a Thursday night showdown at the Mile High City, beating the Saskatchewan Rush. We're also going to talk to Carson Leung. He is a new assistant captain on the team. He has the transition player of the year finalist last year. Not having a great year so far, but we're going to bring him on to the show, give him a little karma, ask him a few questions, and hopefully we can get him going and get some goals out there in the transition end for the Roughnecks.
Tell me about the Edmonton Rush, not Edmonton, Saskatchewan Rush now, but priorly the Edmonton Rush, kryptonite for this group. I mean, it's a really good team. They're the defending champions, so we understand. But man, they sure have been kryptonite, specifically in the regular season the last few years for the Roughnecks.
Yeah, it's such a different dynamic when you play them. They're a team that seems to thrive going back, you know, 5 or 6 years when we were 20-0 against them, and they've started to creep up. But it's one of those teams that if you play a little loosey-goosey, if you're just off a little bit and mistakes compound, you get behind the eight ball, and then you even more have to focus on what you need to do. If you start to play physical, if you start to get frustrated at the referees, those are the kind of games when it snowballs, and that was kind of the effect last week. I think the Rush scored 7 goals in like 5 minutes, 5 goals in 4 minutes, and that's a very, very tough team to play when they have confidence and you're playing from behind the eight ball.
Now, the Roughnecks 3-3 through 6 games. How would you rate what you've seen overall through the first 6 games of this season?
I think it's pretty much what you expected. I think, obviously, they're kind of feeling out things. Whenever you lose a Sean Evans, a reigning MVP on the offensive end, bringing in some new pieces, it definitely changes the chemistry. From a defensive perspective, I think they played really well, maybe the first 4 or 5 games, and then they ran into a hot Saskatchewan team. But I think you see a team that's starting to find their way. I think you see a lot of young guys starting to understand the nuances of the NLL, what it takes to play in the NLL, the different level of compete, physicality, and just kind of the daily rigmaroles of, hey, I got to go to work and then I got to come play in the NLL. So I think 3-3 is good. I think they're going to go on a little bit of a run here. And the one thing about the Calgary Roughnecks organization, the coaches are going to have them prepared. The home crowd is always a huge advantage here, and they're going to be right there when they need to be down the playoff stretch and down the run. I expect them to be in the Western Finals. After that, who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, you never know when once you get to the postseason in the NLL. You've got the Colorado Mammoth, and you had the fun little stat about how much they've gone to overtime in recent years on your Twitter today. Tell me about the matchup and how difficult the first place Mammoth will be this weekend.
Yeah, it's a very unique season for the Mammoth this year. You know, they really came out of the gates hot, starting 3-0. They have some of the biggest superstars in the game in John Grant Jr. and Adam Jones, a young defensive core led by Coates, who's actually suspended right now. But it's been a team that's kind of thrived on scoring goals. They've had a prolific offense, scoring, I think, over 14 goals a game in the NLL. A team that always plays Calgary tough, always plays them tough in Calgary. And there's one guy we always mention when Colorado comes to town. His name is John Grant Jr., the ageless wonder, the oldest player in the NLL, and it's going to be an exciting matchup for the Roughnecks. I think you're going to see a game, not a lot of love lost between these two teams, teams that know each other extremely well, and it's one of those games that comes down to the little things, how the power play is going to respond, if you're going to stay out of the box. Colorado's one of the most disciplined teams in the league, where Calgary, somewhat of a problem in the past years. They're averaging about 22 penalty minutes a game this year, so it's going to be an exciting game Saturday night down at the Dome.
You enjoy your weekend, my friend. Have a good show tomorrow, and enjoy the game at the Dome tomorrow, and we'll be listening to Roughnecks Radio, my friend.
Patty, appreciate it. Have a good one.
He is Roughnecks pundit Andrew McBride joining us here on the program. Roughnecks Radio tomorrow, 2 p.m. here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, 7 p.m. for face-off at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome between Calgary and the Colorado Mammoth. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Is Carey Price done for the season? Or is he close to returning? That's next as we spin you around the NHL and continue on this Friday big show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's the fastest game on earth around the NHL right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Around the NHL on the big show is for Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Football, hockey, good food, and good times at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
The Edmonton Oilers.
Well, we don't like to give them a ton of props down here, but we don't really have a choice because what happened last night at Rexall Place has to be talked about. Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg, Will Nault along with you. Toronto Maple Leafs were in Edmonton. It was a battle of the 29th and 30th place teams in the NHL, but that doesn't mean it still wasn't notable because the line of Jordan Eberle, Benoit Pouliot, and Connor McDavid had themselves quite the night. We'll start with Eberle. Heading into action last night, Eberle had recorded 18 two-goal games in his NHL career, but was still looking for his first career hat trick. After 399 career games finally happened for him in a 5-2 win, the 25-year-old scored three goals, added an assist for a four-point night. Now, lots of credit on the night is due to his linemate, 19-year-old Connor McDavid, but Eberle doesn't want to push the expectations on the number one pick too much.
You got to temper it. We got some good teams. We got to play here soon, and a lot of the teams we're playing right now east, and they're you can take advantage of them with their speed or with our speed and our skill, but you know, it's scary to think he's 19 and he's gonna get better.
Didn't do a very good job tempering expectations, did he? Yeah, I mean, we don't want to. He's pretty unbelievable. He's probably gonna help us win a lot of games. Like, what do we like? Tempering expectations on Connor McDavid is kind of silly right now.
Kind of hard
it?
At this point. Yeah.
And speaking of him, so Eberle gets his first ever career hat trick, the 53rd player in Oilers history to record a hat trick.
How did McDavid do, Pat?
Well, he had a two-goal night. So Eberle outshone him. Two goals for, he also had three assists. Connor McDavid's five-point night, he was on every Oilers goal. He is now the youngest player in almost five seasons to score 5 points in the game. Current teammate Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had five assists against Chicago back in November of 2011, the last time a rookie scored 5 points in the game. McDavid is also the ninth youngest player ever to record five or more points in a game, so that's also pretty darn impressive. McDavid has four goals and 12 points in six games since returning from a 37-game absence with a broken collarbone. In those six games, McDavid has had three multi-point performances and said after the game last night he's getting more comfortable at the NHL level and feels he can just play his game.
The pressure is kind of off on the air. No one's talking about totals or anything like that, so I can just go out there and be myself and play my game within the system, and I've been feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, you sound super excited about everything.
what a way to
kill the mood after your 5-point night.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I feel like I'm playing pretty good right now and playing the system and playing my game.
See, that's why I love guys like PK Subban. I'm just giving Connor McDavid. He's 18 years old. Let's give the guy a little bit of a break. And he scored 5 points. Benoit Pouliot, the other member of that line, had the first four-point performance of his career with four helpers last night. So since McDavid's return, that line, Eberle, Pouliot, and Connor combined for 13 goals and 32 points. They're averaging 5.33 points per game. Pretty impressive. And what is it with McDavid playing against Canadian teams? Well, in his brief NHL career, McDavid has recorded at least 1 point during his debut against all five other Canadian teams. He'll play the sixth and final other Canadian team as the Winnipeg Jets are in Edmonton tomorrow for an 8 o'clock puck drop. But that Connor McDavid, I know that we don't like to give the Oilers credit. I know that we were all hoping that he was overrated and this wasn't going to work and he was not as good as he's as good as we thought and probably a little bit better in his rookie season. Other than the 37 games he's missed, the guy is everything as advertised and more.
Yeah, and the scary part is, I mean, you heard Eberle talk about it a little bit in that clip that we played from him at the end. And you know, the funny part about this guy is that he is only a rookie. He's missed 37 games this year. So it's kind of a little bit scary to think of where he might be in two seasons from now because this guy has got all the talent in the world. And certainly, like you said, I mean, he's met expectations and probably exceeded them a little bit as well. He's been ridiculous to start his NHL career, and he's missed more than half the season.
So the Oilers take out the Toronto Maple Leafs by a 5-2 score last night. First ever 5-point game for Connor McDavid, and that's what's happening in Edmonton.
The Vancouver Canucks.
A little dramatic pause there. They begin a 2-game homestand tomorrow against the Maple Leafs, and for a team that was just starting to get pack healthy, Pat, well, they got some more bad news this morning. As we knew the news about Alexander Edler and Brandon Sutter would not be good, but we find out today it's really not good, as Edler blocked a shot in game one of the road trip last week in Denver, and it didn't look good at the time, and the news confirmed today that Edler's going to be out 6 weeks with a fractured fibula, and forward Brandon Sutter is going to miss the next 6 to 8 weeks after undergoing successful surgery to repair a broken jaw. And, you know, the loss of Edler is one thing, Pat, but I can't help but feel from Brandon Sutter in this case. I mean, the guy just gets back after 3 months away with an abdominal injury and a sports hernia, and now he comes back and he takes a deflected puck off the jaw, and what do you know, he's probably done for the rest of the season.
Awful news. I mean, if they make the playoffs, he might be able to return, but first season with a new team, sports hernia, now a broken jaw. He's barely played. Yeah, you definitely feel bad for Brandon Sutter. It's a big loss. I mean, he was brought in to kind of be part of the 1-2-3 punch up the down the middle. I mean, with Henrik Sedin, Bo Horvat, and Brandon Sutter, the Canucks really felt like they had a nice 1-2-3 punch down the middle, and Sutter's barely been able to play. Edler, on the other hand, that's a big loss. You know, probably their best defenseman, and for him to be gone for a month and a half is pretty huge too. So all of a sudden, you know, Calgary's got injury issues, Vancouver's got injury issues. This is going to be a really interesting race to the finish in the Pacific Division and in the Western Conference wildcard race.
Yeah, it's a very crucial time for the Canucks, and they're 2 points back right now of a playoff spot in the West, and they play 6 of their next 7 games to close out the month of February on home ice, and it begins tomorrow with a date against the Maple Leafs. And how much pull the Maple Leafs have in the NHL, because that's a 4 o'clock start in Vancouver tomorrow because of the first game of Hockey Night in Canada. So
it's the biggest city in the country. It usually wins out, yeah, whether we like it or not.
Absolutely. That's what's happening on the West Coast.
The Montreal Canadiens.
And Carey Price is back on the ice again for 40 straight minutes, but once again without equipment. Head coach Michel Therrien was asked for an update after practice today.
There's no update. He's not like the next stage that we could start and make any comment. The one thing that I know, he's putting a lot of hours and he's working extremely hard to make the comeback.
You still have your confidence he'll be back this season?
Yeah, yeah.
So no truth to the report this morning?
But there's going to be, you know what? There's going to be a lot of speculation. People will speculate about what I hear from different people, but that's our market, you know. We know what's going on with Carey. It takes more time, obviously, than we were expecting. And like I just said, you know, he's working extremely hard, and he's putting a lot of hours to make sure that he's going to make that comeback. And the fact that he's working extremely hard, it's not to make sure that he's going to look good this summer at the beach. He wants to come back and play for the Montreal Canadiens.
So Michel Therrien reacting to some questions about whether or not Price is going to be back this season. The reason why is because a report in French language paper La Presse today reported that the chances of Price returning this season were slim and that he has an injury to his right knee. La Presse also reported the Habs do not believe the injury will require surgery, but the gist of the article, Will, was that they are skating Price and making it public and talking about how hard he's working for marketing and PR reasons and not because he's got a true opportunity of returning this season. But Michel Therrien refuted that today. So that's where we are on the Carey Price story.
Man, it's so hard to really read this situation because obviously in public, the Habs are going to say all the right things. But I mean, even looking at the video yourself, Pat, I know that, you know, every day Carey Price is on the ice. Obviously, there's a lot of TV cameras on there watching him skate around. And if you look at some of those videos, even just last week, I mean, it is so tender, and it looks like he cannot really push himself that hard. At this point, I mean, no disrespect to Michel Therrien and to the Montreal Canadiens, but I do not see Carey Price coming back, you know, at any point here in the next little while. And at this point, really, Pat, I would be surprised if he does return.
I mean, the way it looks right now, there's less than 2 months remaining in the season, and he hasn't even put pads back on. So I'm kind of with you. Like, it doesn't seem like the prognosis. Like, they're still saying he's coming. But man, still hasn't put pads back on. Doesn't even look comfortable skating regularly. So I don't think this is in the near future either. The initial prognosis was Price would need 6 weeks to recover, but then it was announced he wouldn't return until after the All-Star break. On January 21st, GM Marc Bergevin said he expected Price to need another 3 to 4 weeks to recover. Friday marked the three-week mark of that, and I don't think he's coming back in a week's time, meaning his absence will once again extend beyond the revised timetable. The Habs have gone 10-20-2 without Price, 3 points back of Pittsburgh for the second and final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. The Habs are in Buffalo to face the Sabres tonight. It's another big game for them. Jeez, not looking good right now for Carey Price, but we shall wait and see. That's what's happening in Montreal.
The New York Rangers.
They're going to try for their fifth consecutive win tonight, and they're going to turn to backup Antti Raanta when they host the LA Kings at Madison Square Garden tonight. And Raanta has not played since January 17th. He allowed 4 goals on 23 shots and a 5-2 loss at the Capitals on that night. And before that, his prior start was a month before on December 17th. He allowed 1 goal on 7 shots in 13:49 before leaving the game with an injury in the first period of another 5-2 loss, that time at the hands of the Minnesota Wild. Raanta is 4-4-1 on the season, a 2.30 goals against average and a 9.09 save percentage. He's struggled in recent starts. He has not won a game since November 15th. He is 3-2 with a 1.57 goals against average and a shutout at Madison Square Garden this season. So maybe a start on home ice is a good thing for Antti Raanta. But this is another case that, you know, we saw kind of a similar situation last night in San Jose, Pat, when Martin Jones playing really good hockey, but at the same time, you're in a playoff race and you kind of need to give your guy a rest. And I think this time I just listed off Raanta's numbers at the Madison Square Garden, and I think this is just an opportunity where the Rangers say, hey, we need to give Lundqvist a rest. It doesn't really matter how our backup is playing at this point.
Well, and I mean, I think both the Sharks and the Rangers are fully expecting to be postseason bound, and that's not to say that just take things for granted, but while you're also pushing and trying to solidify your spot in the playoff race, you also are having to manage your situation at the same time for the postseason and try and put your team in as good a spot as you can to succeed come the playoffs. So that's kind of a dual situation that a team's got. So that's what I think is going on. That's what I think was happening last night for San Jose. I think it's what's happening tonight for the New York Rangers. Jones, Lundqvist, those are going to be the guys if and when those teams get to the playoffs. So while you need to get there, you also want to make sure once you're there, that your guy is rested and has been properly managed. So I think that's exactly what's happening here.
Off the ice with the Rangers, defenseman Ryan McDonagh skated on his own prior to the Morning Skate today, but will not play tonight. He has missed this week games against the Devils and the Penguins as a result of a concussion suffered on February 6th against the Flyers when he's punched in the head by Flyers forward Wayne Simmonds, who did receive a match penalty on the game. In 52 games so far this season, McDonagh has 7 goals and 26 points. He leads the Rangers in average average ice time per game at 22-24. The Rangers have won twice in his absence. They carry a four-game winning streak into tonight's game. They're second right now in the Metro, 3 points up on third-place Islanders. And on the Kings side, pretty significant, as looks like it's going to be Peter Budaj in net tonight. He was first off the ice at morning skate and was recalled from Ontario of the American Hockey League on Thursday on an emergency basis. He has not started in the NHL since April 9th, 2014, and last appeared in the 2014 Eastern Conference Final against the Rangers when he was a member of the Montreal Canadiens. So the Budaj getting the start for the Kings tonight. It's Kings and Rangers at MSG. It's a 5 o'clock faceoff, and should be a good one tonight. The Rangers also continuing, or sorry, the Kings continue their Eastern Conference road trip. They were in Brooklyn last night, so the Kings looking to build on their lead in the Pacific, and the Rangers going to turn to Antti Raanta tonight against those Kings.
Sounds like Jonathan Quick's injury is not going to be long-term. So
which
just
is good news.
Yeah, exactly. Just taking precautions with him, but he will not dress tonight. It'll be Enroff and Budaj dressing for the Kings tonight, and Budaj gets the start in net. That's our look at the Rangers and the Kings. That's our spin around the NHL. We'll do it again tomorrow. No, we won't, because tomorrow's Saturday. We'll do it again Tuesday on the Big Show here on Sportsnet 960.
After you said that, I was hoping you'd say Monday. So then go, no, we're not going to do Monday. We're going to do it Tuesday.
No, somehow I remember that we're not working Monday, but not that we're working tomorrow. What are we teasing? What do we got coming up in our next segment?
Well, I don't really have the best of the best of, so we could do that. I mean, it's not like it's terrific stuff there. We could talk about Peyton Manning and his love for Budweiser, and also some pretty cool moments from Marshawn Lynch as he called it a career in the National Football League.
See, I think you're underselling it. We got the best sound clips of the week, even though Will didn't sell it the way I was hoping he would. We got the best sound clips of the week around the corner. Stay tuned next on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Around the NHL on The Big Show is for Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Football, hockey, good food, and good times at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, 960 on the AM band, streaming at sportsnet.ca/960, and always on the Rogers Radio app. Talking Calgary sports around the world. The world. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The best quotes, the top highlights, and anything else that you need to hear. This is the best of the best on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
End of the week. Looking forward to the weekend. I'm tired and punchy, so I think this is going to be a good segment. Will has got the best audio clips of the week. You didn't sell it so great before the break, so I'm selling it hard now. What do we got, William? The floor is yours, my friend.
Sell it, my friend. Sell it big. We talked about Connor McDavid and around the NHL, so I want to take this quick moment to give some love to number 8 of the Washington Capitals.
He's got two here and relatively early in the proceedings. Well, a lot of time left. 5:16 to go, second period. The puck right wing and the top line remains on. Oshie now for Backstrom. A shot here. Rebound and another chance for Ovechkin. A shot. They score! The puck that comes off Dubnyk with 5:05 to go. The third of the game for Alex Ovechkin. And Hats raining down on the ice here at XL Energy Center. It's 3-1 Washington!
So with that goal, Alexander Ovechkin passes Jean Beliveau for 39th on the NHL's all-time goals list at 5:09. And we talked so much about the jokes about most goals in the NHL since 05-06 when he entered the league, but always goes back until like 2000-2001. Well, no player has more multi-goal games since 98-99 than Alexander Ovechkin, and he didn't enter the league until 05-06. He's got 105 multi-goal games in his career. Jerome McGinley has 105 as well since 1998-1999. He, of course, has been in the league that entire time. Ovechkin missed 8 seasons of that.
So, go back. So, how many multi-goal games is it for Ovechkin?
105.
Okay, so... And it's 107 in Aginla's career. So since Aginla entered the league in 96-97, nobody has more multi-goal games than Aginla at 107. Ovechkin entered 10 years later almost and has 105. That tells you just, again, we do it all the time because you and I are both huge Ovechkin hunks. But man, oh man, that's a really good indicator as to just how much this idiot scores. An idiot in a good way.
Most hat-tricks as well since 05-06 that should surprise nobody for Alexander Ovechkin. He has 14 hat tricks in SoFi 06. Eric Staal is second place with 13. Evgeny Malkin's got 10. He is in a tie for third place with Ilya Kovalchuk. But Ovechkin continues to do big things. He also, of course, earlier in the week, passed the 30-goal mark for the 11th time in his career. So he just continues to score a lot of goals. And also want to mention, last night in the NHL was crazy, Pat. Three hat tricks last night.
Yep.
Patrick Eves, Alexander Ovechkin, and Jordan Eberle. First time the NHL's had three hat tricks in the same night since December 21st, 2013. There's not been four in a night since December 15th, 2010. But a pretty big scoring night in the NHL last night.
No kidding. Well, here's the really cool thing. Ovechkin scored all three of his goals in the second period, and Patrick Eves scored all three of his goals in the first period. It's the first time two players have hat tricks in a single period in the same night since January of 2014 as well, when Marty St. Louis and Joe Pavelski did it. So that's also pretty impressive. And the Capitals are the fastest team in NHL history in terms of games played to 40 wins. It tells you just how good their season has been. So Ovechkin, not bad.
We talked about Connor McDavid's historical night last night with 5 points, and the opposition coach last night was Mike Babcock of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And after morning skate where he had Peter Holland on his first line, he was criticized and asked about his lines, saying they were all scrambled, and this was his response.
Yeah, I don't think they're scrambled. I think they're beautiful. It's just how you look at it.
He doesn't think they're scrambled. They're beautiful.
You know what? He didn't get mad. He didn't get mad at anybody. I don't think they're scrambled. They're beautiful. Hey, you got to keep a sense of humor. The Maple Leafs are the 30th place team in the NHL. The latest they've been in sole possession of 30th in a season since 96-97. So not so good in Toronto. So you got to keep a sense of humor, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're scrambled. I think they're beautiful. It's just how you look at it.
Greg Popovich was at his best again this week with his favorite courtside interview.
Thanks very much, Pop. Your impressions of the first quarter?
We're behind and they're ahead.
Why is that?
They scored more than we did and we were pretty crappy on defense. It's been fun.
I love it.
Why is that? They scored more than we did.
I love. Okay, so that was Sager and Popovich.
No, it was the other guy for TNT. Sorry, Sager made his way to Toronto. For
okay,
this
so Sager's in there. Okay, yeah. So but still, play it again because that's a
12 and a half seconds. And
but
this
you
is
know
what you get.
This is good work on the follow up question because you know what you're gonna get. You just don't know exactly what you're gonna get in your first question to Popovich.
Thanks very much, Pop. Your impressions of the first quarter?
We're behind and they're ahead.
Why is that?
They scored more than we did and we were pretty crappy on defense. It's been fun.
See, like, so it was good. A fair first question. Like, you definitely don't want to be asking yes or no questions to Popovich in that situation. So he asked him, your impression. So a good open-ended question. And then the follow-up, why is that? I love it. Good job from that guy. Because poor Popovich, he makes it so hard on everybody.
Peyton Manning, a lot of people caught this after the Super Bowl that he wants to drink a lot of Budweiser. But you go back a couple of years before that, two playoffs, in fact, where they beat the San Diego Chargers in round one of the postseason. And his post-game presser, this is what it sounded like.
Your future is going to be determined by exam on your neck in a couple of months. Probably pretty standard. You've done that before. But is that weighing on your mind at all? The fact that you don't know how much time you have left in this game?
No, it's really not. What's weighing on my mind is how soon I can get a Bud Light in my mouth after this win. Priority number one. That was it.
And then fast forward to Sunday.
Peyton, is this your final game for your career?
You know, I'll take some time to reflect. I got a couple of priorities first. I want to go kiss my wife and my kids. I want to go, you know, hug my family. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight, Tracy. I promise you that.
Do you want to play your edited version?
I don't know if
version?
We could.
Jimmy Kimmel does it on network television, so I'm sure that we all can right. do it. So you okay, play the one clip and then play your randomly edited clip.
Peyton, is this your final game for your career?
You know, I'll take some time to reflect. I got a couple of priorities first. I want to go kiss my wife and my kids. I want to go, you know, hug my family. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight, Tracy. I promise you that.
Okay, now let's hear the other one.
Peyton, is this your final game for your career?
You know, I'll take some time to reflect. I got a couple of priorities first. I want to go my wife. I want to go, you know, hug my family. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight, Tracy. I promise you that.
That's well done.
This is for you, buddy.
Oh, well played, my friend.
The last one is just, you know, Kobe Bryant playing his final NBA All-Star game this weekend in Toronto, and he's going to have some fun with it. He's going to sit back and have some fun.
Pretty cool. I mean, I'm looking around the room, and I'm seeing, you know, guys that I'm playing with that are tearing the league up that were like four when my first All-Star game, you know, and it's truly, I mean, it's, you know, how many players can say they played 20 years and actually have seen the game go through three, four generations?
And it's funny because I guarantee 90% of those All-Stars did grow up idolizing Kobe Bryant.
Absolutely. I mean, and I know that there were a lot of people who were criticizing him because he retired in the Players Tribune and is doing his, you know, tour around the NBA, and now he's going to his last All-Star game even though he's not All-Star quality and all that. I know there's lots of criticism being pointed towards Kobe Bryant in some circles. I am that criticism so off base. He's one of the, three, four best players to ever play the game. The guy can go out however the hell he chooses. If he wants to do a tour of the league, if he wants to be a honorary All-Star, which is basically what he is, so be it. He can do, like Martin Brodeur, if he wants to sign with the St. Louis Blues, he can do whatever he wants. He is a living legend, and that's exactly what Kobe Bryant is. So, yeah, he can go out however the heck he wants, and I think it's cool that he's got one final All-Star game. It just happens to be in our country, which I think is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And one guy that did call it quits this week was Marshawn Lynch of the Seattle Seahawks. So why not play some of his most famous moments?
Y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined. 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 I'm here so I won't get fined.
And you get the rest of it.
So why is he there?
He's.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Nice.
Did that to 25 straight questions before the media finally gave up. That, of course, was prior to Super Bowl 49, which happened last season. So Marshawn Lynch calls it quits. I know a lot of people point to that ridiculous touchdown run in the playoffs against New Orleans is probably their favorite Marshawn Lynch moment. Do you have one, Pat? Do you want to share?
Oh, no. I mean, my least favorite one is when he didn't get the friggin' football on in the red zone.
Might be one of the most remembered moments of his career that he probably doesn't want to be remembered.
It wasn't even his call. He didn't even touch the damn thing. Got to be honest with you. That's probably what I'm going to remember most about Marshawn Lynch's career is him not touching the football when he should have at that time.
Two pretty good NFL players calling it quits this season. We saw a couple of early retirements last year with head injuries and stuff like that, but this year, it's Calvin Johnson and Marshawn Lynch. Pretty good careers, both of those guys, but could have ended a little bit earlier than they maybe wanted to. But good for them going out on their own terms, and that's the way it's going to be.
That is the best of the best. We'll do it again next Friday here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, lots to get to as we continue on this game day edition of the program. Robbie and I have got plenty to talk about on the Flames front and a whole lot more. Big Show continues next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Friday night hockey to start your long weekend. Flames in the desert to take on the Coyotes. Free game for Rogers Calgary Flames hockey starts at 6 p.m. live from Shanks Crowfoot with Steinberg. 60 minutes of NHL talk. Flames and Coyotes live from Glendale with Derek and Peter goes at 7. Don't forget the Friday night edition of the Hot Stove Lounge and Overtime Call-In Show. Flames and Coyotes right here on Sportsnet 960. Rogers Calgary Flames Hockey is brought to you in part by the Alberta College and Association of Chiropractors and Rebuild Homes.